Welcome to the BitLocker module, and I'm really sure that you will like what you will see now. To begin with, let's first talk about what BitLocker really is. So BitLocker is Microsoft's answer for drive encryption. With BitLocker, we use AES encryption with a 128-bit encryption key, and it really helps to mitigate really unauthorized data access by enhancing file and system protections. So what are the requirements? Well, talking about the OS first, you will need Windows 7 Enterprise or Ultimate. In terms of Windows 8, it is either Professional or Enterprise. And if we look over to Windows Server, it is 2008 R2 or Windows Server 2012 in all versions. By the way, of course, we highly recommend that you utilize TPM 1.2, since it will offer you way more ways to be used as a protector. And in terms of the BIOS, TPM compliant BIOS must be used. BIOS must be set to start first from hard disk and not over USB or CD drive. And lastly, BIOS must be able to read from a USB flash drive during startup. So let's talk about the protectors. The first one is TPM only. TPM only will help you against most of the software attacks, but though it's vulnerable to hardware attacks. Dongle only, which is there to help against many hardware attacks, but is vulnerable to losing dongle pre-OS attacks. Then we got TPM plus PIN, which helps against many hardware attacks, but could be vulnerable to TPM breaking attacks. By the way, this is the combination we within Microsoft use mostly. TPM plus dongle then is therefore helping against many hardware attacks, but there will be still some vulnerable hardware attacks where you might be watch out for. Lastly, TPM plus PIN plus dongle. TPM plus PIN plus dongle really helps against most of the hardware attacks, and the only possible vulnerability which I see is social engineering. So how does BitLocker help me in terms of system integrity verification? Basically, what BitLocker performs is a method to check early boot file integrity, then goes over with a protection to mitigate offline software-based attacks, and lastly, it would lock the system when it's tampered with. So what is TPM? TPM stands for Trusted Platform Module. In simple terms, TPM is there to protect the secret. It's compatible with BIOS as well as UEFI, and you can manage it over tpm.msc. BitLocker requires TPM 1.2. Previous versions are not supported, so this is really important. Previous versions are not supported. It can create and store and manage keys, provide a unique endorsement key, as well as provide a unique storage root key. It performs cryptographic functions such as RSA, SHA-1, and RNG, and meets encryption expert requirements. So let's talk about the architectural diagram. In the diagram, it shows you the overall BitLocker architecture, including its various subcomponents. It displays the user mode and the kernel mode components of BitLocker, including the TPM and the way they integrate with the different layers of the operating system. I'm going to highlight just only some of the key areas, because if I would deep dive the architecture, I believe this module would go for 2 days. If you're interested in learning more and really deep technical information around the architecture, just go on TechNet and Bing for the architectural diagram for BitLocker, and you will find that diagram and the really detailed information around that. So let's have a look. On the right side, we have the BitLocker command line tool, which is managed BDE, which communicates with the BitLocker VMI provider and then goes over to the various of BitLocker interfaces. At the end, within the kernel mode, it communicates with the BitLocker filter driver. When we look at the TPM side, we have the TPM MMC snap-in, which communicates to the TPM VMI provider, then goes to TPM-based services, and the TPM-based services is responsible to communicate within the kernel to TPM sys. TPM sys will then go to the TPM microchip itself, and the microchip then is responsible to looking into the boot manager, OS loader, going over the keyring to the BitLocker filter driver. All right, so now let's talk about the recovery mode. Well, I'm sure that most of you, or let's hope not most of you, but some of you, ended up already in the recovery mode. And if we're honest to ourselves, one of the most common reasons why we are in the recovery mode, it's because we forgot our PIN. But don't worry, there are also some other reasons why we would end up in recovery mode. For example, if there were any modification made to the boot files, if the TPM has been cleared, if there was actually an attempt to boot without the TPM, USB key or PIN, and, well, of course, if a BitLocker encrypted disk is moved to a new computer. Within the recovery mode, there will be a prompt for a 48-character recovery password. By the way, you could have that recovery key on a USB flash drive where you just can plug in the USB drive to do the recovery for you. Some tips from the field around TPM and PowerShell. If you want to clear the TPM chip, just use clear-tpm with the appropriate parameters. If you want to initialize the TPM chip, just use initialize-tpm with the appropriate parameters, and so on. So now let's look at the boot process. If we separate that by pre-OS, static OS, all boot blobs unlocked, and volume blob of targeted OS unlocked, you will see that TPM init, so TPM initialization, is within the pre-OS and is really the first one which gets started. After the TPM initialization, we go into the BIOS, then the master boot record, which then go over to the boot sector, boot block, and then we are already in all boot blobs unlocked, so with boot manager, which then goes over to OS loader and which then starts the OS itself. Have you ever thought about enhanced authentication scenarios? What does BitLocker offer us? So there are really two ways, either TPM plus a PIN, or you can utilize TPM plus a storage key on a USB storage itself. The disk layout and key storage. So where is the encryption key itself? The SR key, which stands for storage root key, is contained in the TPM. SR key encrypts full volume encryption key protected by TPM, PIN or USB storage devices. FVE keys are stored on hard drive in the OS volume itself. The system volume contains, beside of the master boot record, also the boot manager as well as boot utilities. All right, before I summarize it, let me quickly show you also the TPM console. So let me leave this PowerPoint over here and switch to the new user interface, the modern UI. Enter tpm.msc. And now I have the Trusted Platform Module Management console open. And basically, if you now look on the right side, you're going to have the Action Center where you can prepare the TPM, turn the TPM off or on depending on in which status you are at the moment, change the owner password, you can clear TPM, and lastly, you can reset the TPM lockout. Something what is really interesting is if you go over here to command management, it gives you the ability to see how the TPM chip is currently configured. So just as an example, if I click on this one for instance, it will give me in the description an explanation first of all of the command itself and the information that this command is currently managed over group policy. So whatever group policy configuration has been done will be reflected within the command management console. This is the end of the BitLocker module. I hope you enjoyed it and make the most of it. Thank you.